We're now in the 17th verse of the 12th chapter of Ezekiel. God in this 12th chapter has been giving signs of the removing of his people from Jerusalem and from the land of Israel into captivity. And in this 17th verse we have the beginning of another one of these signs. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling and with carefulness. Now, Ezekiel was to act out this sign before the people there in the land of Chaldea who were with him. And the sign simply consisted of this. He would eat his bread with quaking. That is, he would eat it in a fearful, trembling manner. And drink thy water with trembling and with carefulness. There would be the care and the fear both combined in the eating of the bread and drinking of the water. Now this could be symbolic of two things. One, the fact that they didn't have enough bread, enough water. The city was under siege. They were going to soon be without. And so they'd have to very carefully distribute it and eat it in small portions so as to make it last as long as it would. And the same would be true of the water. Or it could also symbolize the fact that because of this impending doom that they could see that was closing in on them as a result of these armies that had them surrounded and besieged, then they ate it in a very fearful state. They were quaking with fear and trembling because they could see no way that they could be rescued from their terrible situation. So as Ezekiel does these things, eats the bread with quaking, you might just see the bread crumbling and some of the crumbs dropping on the ground. The container that he drinks the water from is going to be trembling, and it'll maybe be splashing some of the water out. And it's a graphic sight. Some reason is making this person fearful, making him in a state of distress. And so then he, in the next verse, tells what this is symbolic of. Verse 19, And say unto the people of the land, Thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and of the land of Israel. Now this is what this is symbol is talking about. It's talking about what's going to happen to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and of the land of Israel. So Jerusalem and the territory around about it, in which those remaining people that are the children of Israel dwell, this is what's going to happen to them. They shall eat their bread with carefulness and drink their water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate from all that is therein because of the violence of them that dwell therein. He's simply showing what's going to happen to the people who are still in the land, who are still in the city of Jerusalem. They're going to eat their bread with carefulness and drink their water with astonishment. Care and fear are going to be instilled in them, and it's going to cause them to manifest it in the way they eat their bread and drink their water. And as we said earlier, it could even be either be due to scarcity of these supplies, or it could be due to the impending doom that was going to come from the surrounding armies, or probably a combination of both of these things. And the reason for this is that her land may be desolate from all that is therein. Everything that's now there is going to be turned into desolation. The grand construction of their houses and cities and the walls of the cities and even of the temple itself, the practices of the day, the type of religious practices they were following, the traditions that were so contrary to God, the teachings of the false teachers, all of these things. He says, all our land may be desolate from all that is therein. All these things are going to be destroyed. God is going to bring them to nothing. And why? Because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. Their actions, their heart, their attitude. He calls it the violence of them that dwell therein. That's the reason why this is going to happen. Verse 20, And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate. So there's not going to be any more nation of Israel existing in the land of Canaan. The cities are going to be laid waste. Now, it's just very hard for us to imagine something like this happening to us. cities that are just laid waste, that no more are inhabitable. No longer do people dwell there. No longer do they even exist as far as having any function goes. They're going to be laid waste. The land shall be desolate. Not only will people not live there, not only will there be no commerce or trade, but there's not going to be any crops grown. There's not going to be any harvest. There's not going to be any benefit by staying even, because the land shall be desolate. And the result of this then is, and you shall know that I am the Lord. That's the result. They're going to know that He is the Lord. They had the great lesson yet to learn, that it was not their way that counted. It was not the way of the traditions of the people around about them that counted, but it was the way of God that counted. They had forgotten God. They had left God out of their plans and their practices. They had commingled Him with the idols round about and the religious practices of the day that were contrary to God, and they'd really, in that sense, then forgotten about God. They didn't know God. But He says, you shall know that I am the Lord. Just one God, one Lord, and that's a lesson you have yet to learn, that it's Me. I am the Lord. To think that God would share power with another idol or with another type of a god is not to know God. You just don't know Him. You just are not aware and acquainted with the type of a God He is. He's the one, the only, the God. And you're to know this and to act in such a way that you know it. Beginning in verse 21, we have another sign given to Ezekiel, another teaching given to Ezekiel about the end of the people and what was going to happen. He says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, verse 22, Son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Now there's a proverb over there in the land of Israel. There's a saying among the people, and it's been said so long and repeated so much until it's become a proverb now. It's a proverbial saying that goes throughout the land. And it goes something like this. The days are prolonged and every vision faileth. That is, these visions that the prophets are talking about, this impending doom is going to come upon the land and the people. Why, it's been put off. The days are prolonged and every vision faileth. We just keep going from day after day after day and nothing ever happens. So the visions are failing. They're really false visions that these prophets have had. That's what they're saying. That's what the proverb is saying. Don't put any stock in what these prophets of God keep telling you about a destruction. Why, it's just never going to happen. It hasn't happened up to now. And that proves then that the visions are failing. The visions are false. Every vision faileth. So God asked Ezekiel, what about that proverb? Remember that saying that's going through the land, Ezekiel? Verse 23, tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. Now God said we're going to change all of that. They've been saying that the proverbs are going to fail or have failed. They've been saying that these judgments are being put off and the days are prolonged. We're not going to have any judgment come upon us. You just tell them that this proverb that they've got going through the land is going to cease. They shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. And of course that is very, very true. That proverb did cease. No man would dare say that these judgments that God had prophesied through His prophets were going to fail, that they were never going to happen. Nobody would dare say that now, because you can look back and graphically see how plainly all of it did happen. It was fulfilled to the very letter. And so that proverb did cease. Nobody in his right mind who could even begin to have any comprehension of truth and validity would say that proverb anymore in Israel. It's just not to be said. It has ceased. It has no validity. It doesn't even arouse any attention or give anybody any comfort anymore, because it has been proven to not exist. They shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. Now what's to take its place? But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. Every vision that God gave his prophets is going to be brought to pass. It's going to be brought about. It's going to be performed. The effect of every vision. All the things that these visions have said, all the effects, all of the calamity and destruction and changes that are going to be brought about as a result of what these visions say, they're all going to come to pass. The effect of every vision. So the days are at hand. And I'd like to pause here just for a moment and stress what he means when he says the days are at hand. In the case of the people in Jerusalem and in the land of Israel, this phrase at hand meant within a very few years these are going to come to pass. It could be days, months, years. But within the lifetime of this people, the days are at hand. And we have some teaching in the New Testament about things that are going to come to pass shortly, and it's referred to as the days being at hand. That is very, very similar to this. In Mark 1, verses 14 and 15, now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Now he said the kingdom of God is at hand. That means that it was going to come to pass shortly. It had not yet been established. If it had already been established, it wouldn't be at hand, but that it would come to pass in a short time, a matter of days or years, the kingdom would be established. And so we have to believe that. Not that it's going to be thousands of years away and none of these people would be alive and around at the time that it happened, but it was a thing that was at hand and would come to pass in a very short time. So when we're studying about the kingdom being established, we have to consider the fact that Jesus said that it was at hand, means that it was going to be established very shortly. And of course, he did establish this kingdom. He did build the church, but it was not done at the time he made the statement. It was done shortly thereafter. Again, in the book of Revelation, we have in the third verse of the first chapter, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those sayings which are written therein, for the time is at hand." So we have to believe then that the things that are predicted and prophesied in the book of Revelation were things that were going to come to pass in a fairly short time. They had not yet happened, but they were going to begin to happen very soon. Again, we read in the same book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter, in the 10th verse, "And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." So we have to believe that when God says the time is at hand, that although this doesn't mean that the total vision is going to be shortly completely fulfilled, it does mean that the beginning of it is very close at hand. The beginning of the fulfillment of it is close. Now, of course, such things as the kingdom and the things written in the book of Revelation existed over a period of centuries before they were completely fulfilled. The kingdom is still in existence today, and this doesn't mean that it would only last a short time, but it means that it would begin shortly after the Lord made the statement. And so about the things in Revelation, some of them took centuries to fulfill, but it doesn't mean that it was going to be centuries before they began to be fulfilled. They began shortly after John received the revelation. And so it is in this time of Ezekiel. He says the days are at hand and the effect of every vision. The things that were said about the destruction of Jerusalem and the land of Israel, they were shortly going to be fulfilled. Verse 24, "For there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel." You're not going to have anybody to come along anymore and give a false vision about this. We're going to put an end to that. You've had false prophets galore, and they have revised and changed the things that I have said. They have misinterpreted them, misapplied them, and made things look good, made things look like that you were all just very satisfactory to God, and there's no need to be worried about anything, that you could just all be at ease in Zion. He says, not going to be any more flattering divination within the house of Israel. We're going to put an end to these false prophets and the lies that have been said about this great event. Verse 25, for I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it. Thus saith the Lord. So he proclaims here that the reason that he can be so confident about the fact that this is all going to come to pass, like he says, is because I am the Lord. I can carry out what I say. I have the power to back up all these prophecies. I have the ability to bring them all to pass. And I do not lie. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. So there are two things here that need to know about God, about the nature of God. One is that he will speak. He does say what he wants to say. He does tell us what he wants us to know. He tells us that. It's up to us to read it, to learn about it, to dig it out and to understand it. But he said it. He's done his part. He has said it. And he, as long as he had prophecy yet to be given, he would continue to say it. I will speak. And it says, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. That's the second thing. Everything I say is truth, and it's going to come to pass. I will speak, and the word shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. Now, in our time today, we have the New Testament writings combined with the Old Testament writings. We have the complete word of God, the complete will of God. And these things do continually speak, and they will speak until he comes again. And the things that he speaks there, whether we care to be ignorant of them or not, whether we care to refute them or not, doesn't change anything. They will come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, he says, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. I'm going to tell it to you again while you're still alive, and I'm going to perform it while you're alive. In your days. It's going to happen in your time. Ezekiel was one of those prophets. Jeremiah also is one of those prophets. And to read the words of the other prophets, like Isaiah, was again to say it and then to know that it's going to be performed. Verse 26, again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say. Now here was a different tack, a different approach to this idea that God's not going to do what he says and God's going to prolong it and put it off. They of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesies after the times that are far off. Now, the first proverb that he mentions back in verse 22 says that the days are prolonged and every vision faileth. They had just concluded in that idea that they weren't going to come to pass at all. The visions have failed. They're just not true. But now some have changed that and said, well, yeah, we believe the visions are true and the visions are going to come to pass, but that it's going to be many days to come, and he prophesies of times that are far off. It's not going to happen to us. It's not going to happen in our lifetime. We don't have to worry. God's not going to bring this about now, but it's going to happen at another time. It's a long time off. And that is truly a false prophecy. That is a way to lull people into confidence in something that they should have no confidence in. That's an idea that's very common today. People say, well, are you ready for the Lord to come? Well, he's not going to come anytime soon. He's going to come a long time off. We've got all these things that are yet going to happen, and we just don't have to worry. But remember, when we die, we've had the judgment day come to us for all practical purposes then, because there is no second chance after death taught in the Bible. That does not correspond with the doctrine of God. When we die, we have done or not done the things that God wants us to do, and that's that so far as our coming to the judgment is concerned. And so we have no way that we can say that the things he prophesieth of, the times are far off, and that it's many days yet to come. None of us have the promise of tomorrow. None of us have the promise of another day. We may not be here to see the sunrise tomorrow or next week. And so we cannot say that the things he prophesies about for us are a long time off. But that is a false teaching that was common during the time of Israel. It's common during the day today. People used to lull themselves to sleep, lull themselves into a sense of security, not realizing that the time is at hand, and it's going to come right now. So God corrects this in verse 28 by saying, "Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, There shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God." Now here's the correction of this. None are going to be prolonged any more. This thing is going to come upon you, and it's going to come soon. You have impending doom. And so the truth is, these proverbs, these sayings, were false. They were going to cause the people to be absolutely doomed and destroyed. They were going to lose their lives, lose their souls, and they need to turn to the truth. None of these things, he says, are true. None of my words shall be prolonged anymore, but the words which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. That was the message Ezekiel was to give. All the words that the Lord had spoken about this are going to be done. They're not going to be prolonged. Now is the time for action. Now is the time for repentance. Now is the time to realize that we have to yield to the will of God, because God's going to bring His will about. And so it is with us. We cannot afford to be lulled into the false sense of security that it's a long time off. People say, "Oh yeah, I believe it's going to happen, but it's not going to happen anytime soon." We can't afford that, because as far as each one of us is concerned, when we draw our last breath, it has happened. We are then going to face the judgment for the deeds that we have done in our body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. There's no prolonging of it. There's no changing of it. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen, as far as we're concerned, soon. No more time for us. Well, we will close our lesson at that point. Lord willing, next time we'll begin chapter 13 of Ezekiel. Thank you.